We'll move on to the fourth case of the morning, number 02-2593, Norma I. Colon against Option 1 Mortgage. Mr. Rose.
May it please the court, my name is Jeffrey Rose. I represent Norma Colon, the appellant in this case. Ms. Colon is a resident of Lincolnwood, Illinois, who owns a home there with her two children, living with her two sons. And she got behind on her mortgage payments. The mortgage company, the appellee in this case, Option 1, filed a foreclosure action and obtained a judgment of foreclosure and sale. An auction sale of the property took place under the Illinois Mortgage Foreclosure Law. And after the auction sale, but prior to the confirmation of that sale in state court, Ms. Colon filed a Chapter 13 bankruptcy petition and a plan seeking to cure the default under her mortgage loan. The only issue presented by this case is what the cutoff point is for a Chapter 13 debtor to cure a default under their home mortgage loan.
When does title pass under the Illinois law?
Well, title doesn't pass till confirmation, Your Honor, because it's at that point that a deed is authorized to be given to the successful bidder. The bankruptcy code states that that a Chapter 13 debtor may cure a default under her residential home mortgage up until the time that a foreclosure sale is conducted in accordance with applicable non-bankruptcy law. Now, applicable non-bankruptcy law, of course, is referring to state foreclosure law, and in this case, it's Illinois. So we have to look at the interplay between the code section 1322C1, which states that premise, and Illinois mortgage foreclosure law. Under Illinois mortgage foreclosure law, first the mortgagee obtains a judgment of foreclosure and sale. Then at least no less than 3 months after that sale, after that judgment, is a redemption date, which is the last date under the Illinois law, in the absence of a bankruptcy, that a debtor could pay off the mortgage and redeem their property. Following the redemption date, at any time afterwards, the mortgagee can go ahead and schedule the auction sale, but not before. At the auction sale, there's a successful bidder, and then after that, the sale has to be confirmed in the state court, and then the deed can be delivered upon confirmation. Now, the confirmation can be denied by the state court for any one of four reasons laid out in the statute. There could be a defective notice. The terms of the sale could be deemed unconscionable. The sale could have been conducted fraudulently. Or justice was not otherwise done in the sale. The Illinois courts have emphasized that confirmation is more than a ministerial act. It is a substantive act. And the courts have broad discretion under the mortgage foreclosure law to deny confirmation. And if confirmation is denied, then although there's still a judgment in place, and although we've still gotten past the redemption date, we have to have another sale. Now, the appellee argues that the sale does not have to be complete, because what we have is all the Illinois courts that have ruled on this issue have stated that confirmation is the completion of the sale. And the appellant contends that the sale must be completed in order to take away her rights to file her Chapter 13 plan and cure the default.
Mr. Rose, let's just assume, arguendo, that there was no bankruptcy in the picture here.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been a sale of the property. Redemption period ended. There was a sale of the property. Confirmation was pending in the Illinois courts. At that point, the homeowner attempted to redeem the mortgage by paying the arrears. Would they have that opportunity?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Their rights to cut off have been cut off. At the time of the redemption date, their rights are cut off.
So aren't you really arguing that a person in bankruptcy has more rights than a person who is not in bankruptcy?
Yes, I am, Your Honor. But I would also contend that Appellee is arguing the same thing, because everyone agrees, including Appellee and all courts that I can find, that because of Section 1322C1, a Chapter 13 debtor can cure after the redemption date has passed, but at least up until the auction sale. So there's no dispute anywhere that the Chapter 13 provision allows a debtor greater rights than they already have under Illinois law in the absence of a bankruptcy. So it's really a question of how far along we should take that. Now, there's a question of does the foreclosure proceedings have to be completed through the confirmation, or does the auction alone cut it off? Now, significant is the United States House of Representatives report with respect to 1322C1 when it was passed in 1994, and I quote, "This section of the bill safeguards a debtor's right in a Chapter 13 case by allowing the debtor to cure home mortgage defaults at least through completion of a foreclosure sale under applicable non-bankruptcy law." Now, Judge Shader in the Crawford decision quoted this section because the courts are split. But all of the courts that say you can cure up until confirmation say that when they say sale under applicable non-bankruptcy law, they mean completion. And clearly the House report refers to completion, and that's really the only evidence we have of what the Congress meant when they passed this act.
The debtor in this case held title up until, or would hold title up until confirmation.
Well, that is correct, Your Honor, because title doesn't pass to the new purchaser, to the successful bidder, until confirmation, and then a sheriff's deed is given.
Does that make any difference in your analysis?
No, I don't think it does make a difference because the Act and the Illinois Mortgage Foreclosure Law doesn't tend to focus on the issue of one title passes. It has the scheme whereby the debtor's rights are cut off at the time of redemption. But as I said, everyone is in agreement that the Chapter 13 section still allows a cure past that redemption date. The only question is how far along.
Is there any evidence that Congress intended to extend state-mandated redemption periods past the date of a foreclosure sale?
No, I have found no evidence that it's extended it, other than the fact that everyone's in general agreement that cure can occur after the redemption date has passed. If we look at what the House of Representatives report says, we have to come to the conclusion that the cutoff date for cure is upon completion of the state mortgage foreclosure proceeding. And I don't see any choice but to follow Illinois law, which states that completion does not occur until the confirmation. Now, it's been argued by the appellee and those who think the cutoff should occur at the auction sale that this disrupts the whole scheme of the state plan, which cuts off the rights at the redemption date. However, as I've already answered, it already cut this. The Chapter 13 provision already allows cure beyond that date, so nothing has really changed that much, other than the short period of time that would extend the cure date from the auction sale to the confirmation date. And then we have to remember, too, one more point, that if the court, in its broad discretion, the state court, determines that the sale was unconscionable or it didn't do justice, then they deny confirmation and we go back to the point of an auction sale and everyone's in agreement that then the debtor could file their plan and still cure their mortgage. So for these reasons, I think that the decision below should be reversed, and the point of cutoff for a debtor to cure their home mortgage loan under a Chapter 13 should be at the point of confirmation of that sale in state court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. I'll hear now from Mr. Circelli.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the Court. Your Honors, what you're here today to decide is when a foreclosure sale is conducted pursuant to Section 1322C1. Mr. Rose referred to the House report, and he stated that a senator made the comment that it'll allow them to cure up to the time of completion. But the problem with that is that that is not what was passed by Congress. What was passed by Congress was the statute, and the wording is, when is the sale conducted? And I think that's the answer that we have to have here today. Mr. Rose and the debtor base essentially their whole argument on the words that follow foreclosure sale being held. And that specific wording is in accordance with applicable non-bankruptcy law. And as I pointed out in my brief, this specific language, in accordance with applicable non-bankruptcy law, is contained throughout the bankruptcy code. It doesn't lend substantive meaning to when a sale is conducted. It simply refers the reader of the statute to a different body of law that is not contained in Title 11. In this case, it would be state foreclosure law. So why is a sale conducted at the time that the actual auction occurs? Well, first of all, the plain meaning of the statute, I think, is clear. When you say the words foreclosure sale is conducted, you think of specifically the hammer falling at an auction and the officer or the judge declaring the sale to the highest bidder. Now, as I stated, they didn't state the end of the foreclosure process in the statute. They did not state the completion of the foreclosure sale. They said when the sale is conducted, and that is the appropriate cutoff point. Now, part of the reason that they passed this law was to overrule the decision of In re Roach. And In re Roach basically said that the debtor only has to the time that the judgment is entered in state court. And Congress decided that they had to pick a cutoff point to make it uniform across the country. And I submit to the court that they picked the actual auction date and not any other date, and there are very good reasons for that. First of all, as I've given you in my appendix, the last page of my appendix is a survey of all the state foreclosure laws. And whether it's judicial state, whether it's a non-judicial state, whether they have proceedings after the sale or not, there's one common theme that runs through every single state in the nation, and that is that every state has an auction of some kind, whether it's done, again, by judicial, whether it's done by deed in trust. It's also a very clean cutoff point, and when I say that, I mean that no other parties are involved up to the point of sale. When you get to the sale point, a lot of times, as was the case here, a third party becomes involved. A third party who has nothing to do with the case up to that point puts their bid up, and in this case, the third party was successful. So it's a very clean cutoff point, and it makes sense that the actual auction would be the cutoff point for not only that reason, but also because the Illinois mortgage foreclosure law itself, the reason that that was revamped in 1987 was to encourage bids. And what used to happen under the Illinois mortgage foreclosure law was that the redemption would expire after sale, and this had the effect of discouraging bidders to come into court to bid at sale. They reversed that. They made the redemption date expire prior to sale, which would give some finality so that it would encourage people to come in so that nothing could happen essentially after the sale as long as the sale was approved. So the auction itself being the cutoff point gives a very, very clean cutoff point, and it also encourages the very policy of the IMFL of encouraging bidders, numbers of bidders, and in turn, higher bids.
Are there any factors that we ought to be considering other than the ones that were raised by the conflicting district court and bankruptcy court opinions?
As far as the case law that is cited that state completion? Well,
just in general, really.
Well, I think one of the things that you do need to consider is if you do make the auction the cutoff date, again, it makes it a much cleaner point. There are no third parties that could be injured as a result. And specifically...
of course, it really doesn't promote a fresh start for Ms. Cullen, does it?
Well, it does, actually. And the reason I say that
what,
is that...
in a new house somewhere? I mean,
well, no,
on
no.
On the street?
No. And the reason I say that is that in this case, the foreclosure complaint was filed in November of 2000. The sale itself occurred in January of this year, at the beginning of this year. So making the auction point the cutoff point would not substantially reduce Ms. Cullen's ability to file a bankruptcy. Again, usually the order approving the sale happens, sometimes it's the same day as the sale, but usually it's within a week of the sale. So what we're talking about is maybe taking away 1 to 7 days of a debtor's ability to file a bankruptcy when they've had, since, again, in this case, it was filed, the foreclosure complaint was filed in November of 2000. So we're talking about almost a year of time on an average foreclosure case that a debtor has to save their home through a Chapter 13. So the benefits that you get of making the actual auction date the cutoff point, again, the policy of encouraging bidders to bid at sale and therefore getting higher bids, and also making it a clean cutoff point so that third parties don't become involved, I think far outweigh the fact that you're taking away maybe a couple of hours and maybe up to 7 days from a debtor's right to be able to file. So I don't think that it takes away from their fresh start for those reasons. And I'd like to address specifically the cases cited that Mr. Rose has referred to. First of all, none of those cases dealt with a bankruptcy. Basically, in this case, we're talking about Section 1322. Obviously, those are all state court cases that had nothing to do with the bankruptcy. I would also like to point out that every single one of the cases cited acknowledge that a sale is conducted prior to the order confirming the sale. Obviously, you can't get to the order confirming the sale if the sale does not happen first. I would also like to point out that all of those cases talk about the completion of the sale process, and this goes back to Mr. Rose's referral as to the House representative or the House report, wherein the senator indicated or the representative indicated that they would have at least to the completion of the sale. Again, that's not what was passed by Congress. What was passed by Congress is when a sale is conducted pursuant to Section 1322C1. So all of those cases talk about completion of the process and really of the whole foreclosure process. Those cases stand for the proposition that a sale has to be approved by a state court, and there's no question that is the case. If you make the auction the cutoff point, that will still be the case. But again, the question we have here today is when is a sale conducted? And lastly, all of those cases.
Is it your argument then that conducting of the foreclosure sale that has to be in accordance with state law? In other words, the actual way the auction itself is conducted.
Our position is when the actual hammer falls and the highest bidder is the successful bidder, that is the end cutoff.
Well, talking about the subsequent language says in accordance with applicable non-bankruptcy law. In other words, the auction itself has to be conducted appropriately.
Correct. And that is what I'm saying. In other words, in accordance with applicable non-bankruptcy law, simply refers the reader not to whether or not the sale is confirmed or whether the sale was conscionable, but the IMFL as a whole, whether the complaint was properly filed, whether service was properly done, whether the judgment was properly entered, not directing the reader to whether the sale is complete, which is the argument of debtor. So, Your Honors, I think I have 1 minute. I would like to conclude by directing you to something that I think is very telltale in the IMFL itself, and specifically to Section 15-1507B. And the last sentence of that section and the title of that section is Judicial Sale. And the last sentence of that reads as follows. A sale may be conducted by any judge or sheriff. So, the identical word used in the statute here today is contained in the judicial sale section of the IMFL. So the IMFL itself states that a sale is conducted when the hammer falls. And I think also the words that are used are also telltale. And the words that are used at the auction are going once, going twice, sold. Based on those reasons, I ask you to affirm the decision of Judge Kokoris. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cerselli. We'll make that a full minute, Mr. Rose.
Thank you.
I would like to point out that with respect to the plain language, it was pointed out by the appellee that all states have auctions, but significantly the Act does not say when an auction is conducted in accordance with applicable non-bankruptcy law. Because I don't think under plain language we can really say that a sale has been conducted when it can be overturned and a deed hasn't been delivered to a purchaser. And maybe at that point we are talking about when title passes, and maybe that is significant. I would also like to point out that although it's a clean break to have the auction, it's just as clean a break to have the cutoff point at the time of confirmation. Because contrary to what was stated before you, a confirmation hearing can't be held the same day of the sale because it needs to be noticed to the parties of interest, and a report of sale has to issue from the party conducting the sale, so that can't occur. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Thank you, Mr. Cerselli. And the case will be taken under advisement. The next case.